Well, good morning. I like that. Our scripture reading this morning is from the 12th chapter of Luke. Jesus has been teaching for quite some time when it seems like he gets interrupted. Somebody has something really important. Then one in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Inheritance, that's pretty important, isn't it? Yeah, I want my share, don't you? Jesus said, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of the things which he possesses." And he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' And he said, 'I'll do this. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater, and there I will store all my crops and all my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you, and then whose shall these things be you have provided? And so is he who lays up treasure for himself, but is not rich toward God.'" Boy. Somewhere I had someone tell me this. I need to learn to remember that I am a spiritual being on a spiritual journey through a material world. And it's awfully easy to get confused about that, isn't it? We see these things all around us. Yeah, too much month at the end of the money. How many times has that happened to you? Malls aren't quite as popular, I guess, as they were a little while back. But it's just amazing. I can go into Walmart, and I can find all kinds of things I want and need that I didn't even know I needed. Are you like that? What about the internet? Some of you girls, you let your fingers do the walking? Huh? Some of you guys? I just try to stay out of new car showrooms. I want one so bad, but I drive my old 10-year-old car instead. Jesus had a great lesson here. You may be too greedy. We are. We're born greedy, aren't we? Try putting two babies in a playpen and one rattle. See how it works. You already know how it works, doesn't it? And a lot of us who are grown up, we're about like that, aren't we? We all want what somebody else has. It's kind of like what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago when we started out with how God made the family. And then we saw how the serpent came to Eve and says, "Did God say you could eat of all these trees in this garden?" Well, all but one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We mustn't eat of that one, or in the day we eat of it, we'll surely die. And he said, "You'll not lie." First thing he ever made a statement about was, it was a lie. You will not die. In fact, God knows in the day you eat of it, you'll become like gods, knowing good from evil. And so she goes over and she takes a look at it, and it looks good. And it's desired, it'll make me wise. That's all it takes. That's how we get into debt. That's how we buy stuff we really don't need. It's the same old process. She discovered something and never noticed how good it looked before. And then she desired it. We're going to do a bunch of D's here. And then she starts doubting God. God said I couldn't eat of it. God said if I ate of it, I'd die. The devil says if I eat it, I'll be like God and I'll not die. And then she makes the decision, chomp. She says, "Here, Adam, you have one too." "Oh, Adam, he's double only. Okay, I'll eat it too."
And then they get worried. They get discouraged. And then they decide they'd better hide. And they disobey God.
And you know, all of us were called back to Christ and we're called back to serving Him. To the Ephesians, Paul makes the statement, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that he may have whereof to give to him that hath need." That's very different, isn't it? Instead of me, 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 I need it for me, I need it mine, mine, mine. I'm going to go out and work. The goal of the Christian is to learn to become a giver and not a taker. Life will get a lot better when I realize what Jesus says in this simple phrase. As he says, be on guard against covetousness. Because a man's life does not consist of the things that he possesses. Sooner I realize that, have you ever done, I mean, how many times I've done, I thought, boy, when I have that, then I'll really be happy. How long did it take for that to get old? Whatever it was. A week? Month? Year? 2 years? 5 years? Oh, I want another one. And if I let that greed control me, it will destroy my influence, it will destroy my future, and it will destroy my relationship with God. Paul says to the Colossians, covetousness is idolatry. I'm putting something between God and me. And God is a jealous God. Idol worship is not gone. In fact, we end up denying God what He says is His. In the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, just before Matthew and your Bible, you'll find a phrase. Will a man rob God? Think about how silly that is. If you're going to rob anybody, you want to rob God? You think God could catch you? Do you think God will notice? Do you believe there's a judgment day? Learning to be generous like our Father in heaven is a great part about the Christian growth. And learning not to think that things are going to make me happy. Recovering from this materialistic attitude that's so much a part of our world today, I have to come to a realization that I am a spiritual being on a spiritual journey through a material world, and I can't get distracted. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul's talking to his son in the gospel, Timothy, about his attitude toward worldly things and stuff and the competition that it will bring into his life when it comes to his relationship with his God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you want to, or chapter 1, verse 6, if you'd like to turn there with me, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Think about that. I need to learn to reframe my thinking, my value system. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we will take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Do you have enough to eat? You know, a lot of folks around the world don't.
Do you have enough to eat?
Our refrigerator stays crammed. How about yours? And I'm growing a half-acre garden. It's going to stay crammed. Hope to cram some of my kids' gardens. Y'all might even get some of the slosh left over. I don't know. We'll just have to see how it goes. We've got to get some water right now. Do you have enough good food to eat? Do you have enough clothes to wear? Patty says, John, why don't you get rid of all your suits? I just wear a few of them, I do. Over the years, I've collected several. I've had folks give them to me, even. But don't you have enough? Could you be content with what you have? One of the things the advertisers try to do is rob us of contentment. They'll make you think until you have this set kind of clothes or that kind of phone or whatever it is, you just can't be happy. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's as good as it gets. That's as good as it gets. Verse 9, for people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. Remember, Jesus talked in Matthew chapter 13 about the different kinds of soils that the seed of the gospel could fall into. One of them was weedy soil. And he says, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches cause men to be unfruitful. Things will never make you happy. You're a child of God. Someone has said there's a God-shaped hole in the heart of every person, and no kind of stuff you put in there will ever fill that hole up. Solomon kind of talked about that in Ecclesiastes. He talked of all the things he had and all the power he had and all the glory he had. But he says at the end, this is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God. Keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. And it is. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some men eager for money have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves through with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Life's about people. There was a song some time back, people who need people are the luckiest people in the world. We all need people. God made us social beings. It wasn't good for man to be alone. Now, how did Paul come to this understanding? Well, if you go to Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, we'll hear him tell us how he reached this conclusion. He said, I'm not saying this because I am in need. The Philippian church has sent him a gift. He is in prison. He's waiting to go before Caesar, and they're worried about him. They love this man, and they've helped him before. And they're helping him once again. And he's writing back to them about that. And he's saying how much I appreciate your gift. But he says, I'm not saying that because I'm in need. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. The ESV and the New American Standard says, I have learned the secret to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, verse 12. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every circumstance and situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him that strengthens me. That's where that verse, that's the context of that verse. He's saying, sometimes we read it and we forget the context. He is talking about living a life of contentment. How are you doing with that? It's completely against nature. Everybody wants more. You see it and you want it. Can you learn to tame that down? It requires me then to make a recommitment. It's Psalm 37 and verse 4 that says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." My wife loves, what delights her is seeing people happy. And she likes to do things that makes people look happy. There's some little children down the street from us. Their mama and daddy, we've become friends. They're from another time and another place. The youngest one is just born. They've got about four or five of them stair steps. And she will go to the store, and she knows they like the yellow raisins. And she'll have little Ziploc bags of yellow raisins that whenever they come, she's going to get those given out. She does the same thing for the grandkids. And you can see they delight in her, and she delights in them. God's like that with you. Did you know that? You delight Him. He delights in you. Kind of hurt my feelings. I was in a Bible class as a young minister, and I thought I was doing pretty good. I was preaching for a church for 250 or so at the time. We had three little kids at the time, and we were struggling getting the bills paid. And this teacher dares say, "God gives us just about as much as we can handle it at any one time." Kind of hurt my feelings. But you know, as I look back on it, I think that's probably about right. He delights in you. He knows what you need. Jesus talks about this. Don't worry about your food and your shelter and your clothing. God knows you need all those things. Trust Him with it. Learn contentment. Learn to appreciate what you have. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. It's true. It's true. But you've got to carry out your part. You've got to do the Lord's will. You've got to be led by the Spirit like we're talking in Bible class. You're trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. Proverbs 21 and 20. "In the house of the wise there are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has." Have you learned sometimes it's your fault you don't have? Have you learned prioritizing things? A few minutes ago, we had prayer thanking God for what He's given us and ask Him to bless the funds we're giving this morning for the Lord's work. Paul had laid that out very clearly, hadn't he, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. "On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as he's been prospered, that there be no gatherings when I come." The first thing to do when you get your check, lay the Lord's money first. Lay it out first. Separate it out from the rest. Some have said give 10%, save 10%, live on the 80%. As we get to doing better in life, we need to raise that giving level, I do believe. In the Old Testament, the average Jew, if he followed the Lord, if he was faithful, he'd give about 30% altogether. There wasn't just one tithe. Say, "Well, we're not in the old law." You're right. But the gospel tells me that I have a new and better law to live under. Jesus shed His blood for me. What have I done for Him? Paul talks to the Corinthians about this quite a little bit. And he says that God will provide. Chapter 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians talks a lot about this.
Everyone needs to learn to give.
There was a fellow deacon of the church, and he said his grandpa, this man today is a multimillionaire by several times over. He said his grandpa got him started. He said he was just a young fellow in primary school, and his granddad said, "Son, I'm going to put you in business. I'm going to buy you a lawnmower." And he bought him a push mower, and he had arranged with his neighbors already that he could come over and mow the grass. And he said, after he mowed the grass, said the man gave him a $10 bill. His grandpa said, "Son, let me show you what you do with that money now." He broke it down to ones. He said, "Now here's an envelope. That's for God. You put your one in there for God. And here's one for you to save. Here's your one for that. Now you take the other $8, and you know you need gas, you need oil, you need to buy what you need for your lawnmower, and I've got this thing on time at the store. You need to lay aside $5 of it to pay for this lawnmower." And said he set him up in business. And he said, "When I dated my wife, one of the things we look back on and we laugh at is I would go in the trunk of the car and I'd get out those envelopes and I'd see how much money we had for the date." God will bless that. God will bless you. Jesus made this statement in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. "Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men pour into your lap." Now this is Jesus saying. I wouldn't believe it if Jesus didn't say it. But every time I read that, I think of the farm, and I think of the corn crib. One of my brothers and my job was to go out there and to load up cobs of corn, still on the cob, in burlap bags for Dad to take on the way to work to leave at the feed mill to get it ground into corn cob meal for the cattle. So we'd go out there, and I would think about that. I've been in church all my life. I'd think about this passage because notice how it describes it. Press down. You ever get tired of buying a box of corn flakes and there's that much in the bottom? You ever notice that? How do you miss it? Hey, listen, you let me fill a box of corn flakes. You'll have some corn flakes. Because here's what Dad would have us do. You put that in the burlap, and you take the shovel, and you throw that corn in there, and then you take it, and you shake it like this, thump, 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 thump. Now it's about half what it was. You fill it up again. Now you take it this time, shake it together. Now, put some more in there, now. Now you got a full bag of corn. And that's what he's saying. Listen to what he says. "Give, and it shall be given to you." I dare you to try this. "Give, and it shall be given to you. Press down, shaken together, shall men pour into your laps." I dare you try. I dare you try. Does anybody know the name Jack Exum? Some of y'all are old enough, y'all know the name Jack Exum. He'd go around and do his three unusual days. And one of the things he would talk about was giving. And usually the giving would rise in congregations where he did that. He would come along and he'd read this verse, and he'd say, "Now what measure you use?" And he'd bring out a teacup. "Is that what you want to use?" Now Paul says, if you give sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. And he says, but now God's got a bigger cup. And he'd come out then with a gallon can. Then he'd come back and he'd say, "Well, what if you used a scoop shovel?" He goes back and he has a whole row of scoop shovels. "If you give this much, God's going to give this much. You give it, but he's going to give it back, shaken it together, pressed down, and running over." I dare you to try it. If you've never tried it. After all, Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8. "The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty." And Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and confirms his covenant." I mentioned Malachi chapter 8. Let me read that verse for you before we close. "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how did we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I do not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you will not have room enough for it. This is the only thing in the Bible where God ever says, test me. Just try me. What is this about? It's about deciding, what do I love? Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount. No man can serve two masters, because he will love one and hate the other. He will cling to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon was the term for the god of money. You can't serve them both. Who am I going to serve? It's a personal question. And when I stand before Jesus, he's going to want to know, which have I loved best in my life? What's most important to me? It's kind of like going down to the gym. You go down to the gym and you work out, you pick up those weights, you put them down, you pick them up, you put them down. Something's going to happen. You're going to change. Your strength's going to change. Spiritually, when I learn to trust God enough that what I have is not more important to me than who he is in my life, I'll grow and I'll learn to trust him. One of the first times in my life when I experienced this, we were in school, Patty and I, and I got a preaching job. The Tompkinsville Church of Christ in Tompkinsville, Kentucky, would hire a college preacher to not preach there. They would send us out to preach for little churches in the country that couldn't afford a preacher. And I was a circuit rider. I would go to four different churches in a month, one each Sunday. It's kind of a good deal. I only had to prepare two sermons a month. And the first one, they didn't get it quite as good, maybe as the next one did. Boy, by the time you got the fourth church, man, it was slick. But we would, I remember one Sunday, we'd gotten married. First year we were dating, then we married. In fact, Tuesday will be our 59th wedding anniversary. That's hard to believe since Patty's only 45. But that's right. And it was the second year. We did okay the first year when we weren't married, but the second year, I still remember that first Sunday and that first church after we'd gotten married. Now we had an apartment, and came time for the contribution plate, and I hadn't thought ahead. I got out my billfold. I had a $5 bill. That's all I had in my name. I'm 120 miles away from the house. I put it in the plate. The very next day, in the mail, an uncle had said, I've just been thinking about you kids, and I thought you might need this. There was a $50 check. And I've watched God since. Listen, you try it. He said, test me in this. This is a very generous congregation. But it's an area we all can grow in. Too much month at the end of the money? Well, maybe I need to reprioritize some things. Maybe I need to try my friend Gary's grandpa's formula. I had a lady that had been a Christian just a few years. She was a single mom. She had three kids. And I know she had it hard. I made this statement about my friend and how to handle the money, how to put God's money out first and save it back so you do what the verse says, where you're laid by in store. And she said to me one Sunday going out of church, she said, John, you don't know what peace that brought to my life. Said with my kids and everything, said everything was expensive, and I'd get here Sunday morning and I'd go to open my purse and there was almost nothing left, and I felt so ashamed. But since you told me that put that money out first, the rest of my expenses, the rest of my week, my finances are much less problematic, and I always have my money to give to God. Thank you.
I didn't think of that. I had a friend that told me about it. It really works. It really does.
Seek ye first his kingdom,
Jesus says, and all these things will be added to you. That's Matthew 6, where he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to eat, drink, or where you'll be clothed. God will take care of you. He really will.
Let me ask you, are you led to the Spirit? We talked about this in Bible class. Who's telling you what to do? Are you listening to your own desires? Or are you listening to God? So this gets real personal. It's not what other people think about me. It's what does God think about me? Are you a Christian today? What confidence I can have if I put my life in Jesus' hands? Whether I live or whether I die, doesn't matter. The Lord's in charge. How about with you? Would you come today believing in Him, repenting of your sins, and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? That's what He asked. It was so important to Him, the last thing He told His disciples is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Have you done that? That's how you put your hand in the hand of Jesus. Come do just what He said. While together we stand to sing.